safe has seemed to be the message of the last 18 months, hasn't it? Stay at home, stay safe, wear a mask, wash your hands, keep away from other people. These seem to have been the rules which have been imprinted on our minds through every media source for so long that I don't know about you, but I think most of us are finding it quite hard to get them out of our mind and our behaviour now that we're told, thanks to all the vaccinations, we could do so. It made me wonder what being safe feels like. Is being safe having a roof over our heads with a door to shut out the cold and the dark? Is it having enough food in the fridge and freezer for today and a bit to spare? Is it knowing that we're not alone? To engage fully and creatively and not just passively in today's increasingly complex and uncertain world. Whatever being safe feels like to you, we all need a place, a safe place, where we can be who we are and work out how we're going to live from day to day. The Bible speaks of God in many wonderful images as King and Lord, as Mother and Father. Do you remember that picture of Jesus in Matthew's Gospel just before his death? Jesus weeping over Jerusalem. Do you remember his words? How often I've wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. What an incredible picture that is of Jesus longing that we would find peace and comfort in his safe, loving embrace. Because only in God can we find, really, that truly safe place we all desperately long for. I've been reading the Psalms and been being blessed by them through lockdown. And I'd just like to read you Psalm 91 now. I just put my glasses on in case I can't read it. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home, but he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on the stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras, you will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them salvation. You know, as I read that psalm, I find myself stopping at about verse 3. When he says, "For he will rescue you from every trouble and perfect you from deadly disease," and it goes on, I find myself stopping and thinking, is this true? How can we apply these promises to a world where suffering is ever present and where bad things and suffering constantly seem to happen to good people? How can we read it in the face of the COVID pandemic? It's not just the others. We know many people who've suffered with COVID and died. How can we read it in face of the devastation and death caused by that recent hurricane in Haiti? How can we equate it with the hopelessness and fear of the people of Afghanistan? Will we ever be able to forget the scenes outside the airport? People desperate to escape. Oh, there's so many other things we could say. So many other people suffering in brutal regimes. How can they find a place of safety? In Luke chapter 4, we see the Spirit-filled Jesus in the wilderness being tempted by the devil to take the easy way, not the way of the cross, the easy way. Each temptation the devil throws at Jesus, Jesus counteracts with God's word. And then the devil directs Jesus to the top of the temple in Jerusalem and says, "Jump! Jump!" And then he quotes that verse that we read in the Psalm 91. "For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Jesus rejected that temptation. But it wasn't because he doubted God's word, but because he knew that to be obedient to God in this life didn't ensure you against danger and death and suffering. Doing God's will may well lead to suffering, pain, and even death. Do you remember? Doing God's will was going to lead Jesus to the Garden of Gethsemane. Do you remember his agonized prayer there? That he would have, that God would find another way, that he wouldn't have to take this bitter cup of suffering. But God didn't do it. Jesus went out from Gethsemane to the cross for you and for me. An angel, we're told, came to him in Gethsemane, but not to save him, but to strengthen him for what lay ahead. I think we have to investigate the extravagant promises of the Psalms in the light of Jesus' teaching and life, and with the guidance of the Spirit. James Joyce, who used to be the Bishop of Liverpool, in one of his books, tells how he read this psalm, Psalm 91, to a lady racked by disease in the last stages of terminal cancer. Her response, as he finished reading, was clear. "I don't want long life. I want eternal life." And as she said it, he says, her face was radiant. There was no trace of self-pity. Already, her habitation was in the shelter of the Most High, in the shadow of the wings that she'd lived under for so long of her past, such a long while in her life. In him, She was free with the glorious freedom of God's forgiveness. The life of God had already begun to flow through her. Physical death is powerless to staunch the flow of eternal life. Eternal life begins the minute that we open ourselves to God's glorious gift of salvation and let Him make His home in us. Do you remember what John says in his epistle? Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. That's 1 John 5 and verse 12. You see, our safe place, our home, is in Him, now and forever. And now we're going to sing a hymn that reminds us of that. There is a hope that burns within my heart, that gives me strength for every passing day. Stand or sit as you choose.
Glory.
conscious that the fear that COVID has caused and continues to cause has been almost more deadly than the virus itself. We sense the fear in ourselves as we try to live normally again, to go into shops, to travel on buses with people who might not be wearing a mask, to wanting to hug our family and our friends, but not quite sure whether we ought to do. It's so hard, isn't it? We dither, usually don't do it anyway. Yet, you know, God's word is full of do not be afraid. Someone told me that there's 365 accounts of that, one for every day of the year. And it may well be true, I've never tried counting them, but it's like a constant repetition, isn't it, in the Bible. Do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And of course, the antidote to fear is faith. Psalm 91 has challenged me, but it's Psalm 23 that has helped me so much. It's so positive. It's so pictorial. I don't think I need to read it to you. You probably know it by heart, but I will read it to you to remind you again. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honour to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honour me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. Believing God will meet not just my needs, but the needs of the people I love. Takes a real step of faith, doesn't it? And so helps us, those words, I have all I need. It helps us to reassess what's really important in our lives. It enables us to realign our perspective with God's perspective. Perhaps read the psalm again, if you haven't read it for a while, when you get home sometime today. See again that picture of the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me. They recognize my voice. That's what Jesus says about himself in John chapter 10, when he describes himself as the Good Shepherd. See that Good Shepherd providing all your needs. Rejoice that he's choosing for you the greenest pasture, the very best. He's quenching your thirst by still waters. Did you know that sheep won't drink from a running stream? They'll only drink from still waters. He lets us lie down. He gives to his beloved rest. He doesn't want us to fill our lives with busyness all the time. He wants us not to rush away from his presence. He wants us to allow us to rest in his presence. There's a hymn we used to sing, to be in your presence. And the verse of that says, to be in your presence, not rushing away. We do sometimes, don't we? We come to him and then, demands of the day rush us on, and we're away and doing all the things, and we're but let him refresh and renew us with his presence. We haven't let him refocus our eyes on him so that we're able to turn to him at every point of the day. Dwell on that word, he restores my soul. Those of you who have been to Balmoral Close will know that I've got baskets on my outside wall, and they've looked absolutely lovely. But if it was left to me, I don't think they'd look lovely at all. It's Tim, my son, who looks after them, and just occasionally he allows me to do the watering. And I often don't do it properly, and the next morning I see that they're beginning to die. I haven't got into the right place, I've done it all wrong. But it's amazing how quickly a turn with the watering can will immediately bring them back to life. They're incredible. They're restored by the water. I want to ask this morning that you'll allow God to restore you. I think we all need restoring. There's an emptiness, isn't there? There's a feeling of not really knowing where we are, what we're meant to be doing. God wants to restore our soul, not just our bodies, but our minds, giving us back peace and joy, replacing the fear and the weariness with his strength. There's a lovely hymn that we're going to sing now, a lovely song we're going to sing. He restores my soul.
Thank you.
so hard not to be anxious about work and money, about food and health, about families and relationships, about weather and climate change, about war and politics, about being loved and valued. What did John say in his epistle? Perfect love casts out fear. God walks with us in every situation that we're living through. And he walks with us even through the limits of our mortal lives. This is a paraphrase of Psalm 23. The Lord is my constant companion. There is no need that he cannot fulfill. When his course for me leads to the mountaintops of ecstasy or to the valleys of suffering, he is by my side. When I tread the dark streets of danger and even flirt with death itself, he will not leave me. When the burden is too heavy, he's there to lean on. My security is in his promise to be always with me. He will never let me go. The Lord is my shepherd. Is he yours? Will you allow him to be your shepherd? Can you hear him saying to you this morning, are you feeling troubled, burdened by care, anxiety, and fear? Let my peace hold you. Are you feeling weak? Let my power strengthen you. Are you feeling lost, weary, hurting? Let my grace heal you. Let me be to you all that you need, all that you will ever need. Come to me. Come into my arms, so that I can comfort you, reassure you, refresh and restore you. Shall we, before we sing our last hymn, in the quietness, just ask God to speak to us each individually?